Good morning, everyone. I guess the, my message in one word, it would be comfort. I've been looking at that word, and the whole concept of comfort, especially in these times of difficulty, there's a lot of sorrow and stress, and there's always been a suffering mankind. And comfort is such a lovely word to think about. It goes all the way back to the very beginning of time. If you look in the scriptures to Genesis chapter 5, we run across this concept of the human need for some comfort in the midst of the toils, the difficulties, the sorrow that sin has brought into the world. God is the God of all comfort.
Amen.
We read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. But here in verse 29 or 28 of chapter 5, we read about Lamech. His number of generations already from that had transpired from Adam. And the results of sin and the darkness of the sinful mankind had overtaken humanity at this point. Not only that, but the ground was cursed, and it would not yield its increase. We read Lamech says, lived 182 years, had a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, "This one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed." Here's the word, first time we read the word comfort. He will comfort us. The name Noah means rest or comfort, the comfort of rest, or the rest of comfort. A beautiful thing. Then we read the sequel of that in Genesis chapter 8. Noah comes out of the ark, the one righteous man found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He comes out and he takes of every clean animal, every clean bird, we read in verse 20, offered burnt offerings on the altar, and the Lord smelled the soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, "I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done." There the covenant with Noah, he released the curse that was on the ground. He gave comfort, as it were, to the human race that there would not be that great effort of toil by the sweat of the brow. Well, then we've had to work, but it was nothing like before Noah came and God comforted the human race in their extremities of having to toil. That's comfort. We labor. As Christians, you know, we're those that are in the work of the Lord, and we all work in the work of the Lord. And in our labors, it's as though we have one who has come, the Comforter, our Lord Jesus Christ. When he comes, he's going to comfort us from our toil. The days of Myra's journey on earth and her toils for her Savior are over. She has found that comfort and rest which heaven is the place where she will find that. After a lifetime of toil. I think of another aspect and comfort. The Lord, if you look carefully at the pages of scripture, you'll find that the Lord comforts his people. There's comfort in every story of the Lord's people as they humble themselves. The Lord comes in and comforts them. He brings them rest. He brings them peace. He brings them deliverance. Whatever it might be, the result is comfort. He comforts their souls. He restores their soul. He encourages their souls. That's what the word comfort encompasses, of all those concepts. Now we think about us, a stranger really to the grace of God. And when we see parallels, we see it beautifully in the life of Ruth, Ruth the Moabitess. She's known over and over again in the story, Ruth the Moabitess. Moabites were not allowed in the congregation to the 10th generation. She was really an outcast in a sense. She had come to God, but she had not been received into the nation. She was a stranger. And as such, by the grace of God, there was allowances made for strangers to glean in the fields. But she had no place there. She had no position in there. But Boaz, he sees beyond the outward, and he sees what she has done. In Ruth, if you go to the book of Ruth, chapter 2, Ruth takes notice of her. He inquires about her. He makes some decisions concerning her well-being while she is in his field. And then verse 10, so she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner, I'm a stranger. I have no claims upon the promises made to Abraham in this land. I have no, my husband is dead. There are no sons from that relationship. I have no claims whatsoever. And Boaz answered and said to her, it's been fully reported to me, all that you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father, your mother, and the land of your birth, and you've come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Then she said, let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I'm not like one of your maidservants. You have comforted me. Now, she had been included now. She was given a place at the table. She was given security. The young men drew water. She was able to drink of the well of Boaz. She was comforted. Isn't that how we have been received into the family of God? We were strangers. We were outcasts. We had no claim upon God, but he's brought us in, brought us and comforted us, encouraged us through it, strengthening us and giving us a place, us a home, as it were. You know, it was when I was studying the book of Isaiah that this word comfort jumped out at me. The first 39 chapters of the book of Isaiah has to do with mainly with judgments. First of all, upon Judah and Jerusalem, and then Israel, and then the surrounding nations, and then those nations that are going to come in and they're going to take over because of the sin of the nation that Isaiah prophesies. 39 chapters. There's judgment practically in every one of them. But then you come to chapter 40, and it begins, chapter 40. Comfort ye, comfort ye, my people. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her, That her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And the rest of that book, there is so much now of the comfort, and that comfort, of course, that comfort originates from the Son of God himself. The Messiah would come. It's a preparation for that. And it begins in the next verse there. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, John the Baptist, would prepare the way of the one who would bring comfort to Israel. And when he came, he was born in Bethlehem, wasn't he? And out on the hillsides, there was shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night. And suddenly there was the angel of the Lord came, and with a pronouncement. In Luke chapter 2 and verses 13 and 14. We read that suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." There, the comfort, peace. That's the result of comfort, is peace. And it was, someone has pointed out that during the lifetime of the Lord Jesus, there were no major wars anywhere. Maybe one of the first times in history. Peace. The comfort had come. The comforter had set foot on the earth. And his life, as he grew and as he ministered, it was a comfort to the poor and the needy and the cast out, the suffering. Wherever he went, he alleviated suffering. That would bring comfort. He cast out demons. That would bring comfort. Blind saw, the lame walked, the deaf heard, the dead were raised. Mother were comforted, their son had been raised from the dead. What a comfort. Everything that he did was a comfort to the people. As Isaiah said of him, he said, a bruised reed he would not break, and a smoking flax he would not quench. But I think of a bruised reed, a woman coming out of her city of Samaria, making her way to a well in the heat of the day, which women, you never go to the river to draw water or to the well to draw water in the heat of the day. That was done later when the shadows are long, when the cool of the evening begins. But she is socially outcast. She's a broken reed. But he doesn't break her. Notice how he binds her up in John chapter 4. He first exposes the need, and then he binds it up. She runs back, a whole woman. "Look at this man, a man that has told me everything that I did. But he still loves me. He valued me. He comforted me." Now we see when the Lord Jesus was up on the mount with his disciples, they come down with the four disciples, Peter, James, and John, and they come to the other disciples. At the foot of the mountain, there is a man, desperate, a father, his only child, his only son, taken of a demon, cast into the fire. It must be a horrible experience for the father to see this. No, the other nine disciples were trying to cast out this demon. They couldn't. The Lord Jesus said, "If you only have faith," the father came to him, "please," the Lord Jesus said, "if you only have faith." The man cries out, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." There is a smoking flax. He believed, but it was almost extinguished, his hope, his faith, that all has been extinguished. And have you ever been to that point? We almost want to give up. A smoking flax, he will not quench. He's the great comforter. Think of on the cross. His mother there by the cross says a sword would pierce her soul. How could she think of anything else but her loss of her son? But he is there, even nailed to the cross. He would comfort her. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your woman. He makes provision for her future with one of his closest friends. He comforted his disciples, but he told them that he was going to go away. They were upset, they were discouraged, their hearts were troubled. But he says to them, fear, don't. He says in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. There was comfort there, wasn't there? That this wouldn't be the last time they would see him. He would come again. But then he gives another thing, verse 26 of that same chapter of John, chapter 14, verse 26. Verse 16. And I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another comforter, another helper, that he may be abide with you forever. Now the words in the New Testament, they all are the same, the comforter or comfort. They all are related to the word kaleo, parakaleo, parakalepto, parakletos rather. It means parallel, then something to come alongside. And kaleo means to call. That is, one who is called to come alongside. Who better to comfort than someone who knows you intimately, who comes right alongside, who comes to your side to comfort. The Lord Jesus had been the comforter while he was there on earth, but now he's going. He said, but I'll send you another comforter, and he will be with you forever. But I want to point out something too. Look at Psalm chapter 68. Psalm 68. In one sense, it almost broke my heart, the realization of this, the full impact of it. Psalm chapter 68. Verse 20, reproach has broken my heart. This is a messianic psalm speaking of the Lord Jesus himself on the cross. Reproach has broken my heart. He had a broken heart. I am full of heaviness, he says. I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, I found none. Well, you might say the women that came from Galilee with him, his mother, the one disciple John. Unfortunately, the human condition is such that in circumstances like that, the pity is self-pity. They do not have the Spirit of God within them. They're more occupied with their loss than the one they were losing. I looked for those who could sympathize with them. Was there anybody at the cross that could look up and say, Lord Jesus, I know this is not the end. I know that you're going to go through death and you're going to destroy death. Hallelujah. Comfort ye, my Lord. No one could say that. No one there. They beat their breasts. Peter, after getting over the initial shock in the garden, he followed a long ways off and went into the high priest, and there he sat down with the servants to see what the end would be. It was expressed by those that were on the way, on the road to Emmaus. We thought this was him that was going to restore the kingdom to Israel. They all thought it was the end. It was just the beginning. But none knew that. None sympathized. Mary, a sword went through her heart. She hardly could think in terms of comforting her son. Her sorrow was so great. Their shock was so great. Their fears were so great. Their feelings. There was no comforter. I looked for a comforter. There was none. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And verse 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He went through that. The comforter himself was uncomforted that he might be able to comfort us. We have the Holy Spirit, the Paracletos, the one who has come alongside to comfort us in all our comfort. And he understands every detail of our sorrow, of our suffering, of our difficulties. He went through that for us. He experienced it firsthand that he might be a faithful and merciful high priest. 2 Corinthians and chapter 1. Recently reading 2 Corinthians, how I am impressed with this book. It's one that impresses me more and more as I read it. It gets you into the mind, the very mind of the apostle, who of all this, all the apostles and all everyone, probably expressed the Spirit of God, the mind of the Spirit of God, most purely than any other. He says there in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. He starts out that way in the book. That's the introduction. He was comforted. You remember 1 Corinthians, don't you? The book of corrections. Right through it, there's one that the Corinthian assembly was going astray, and it was falling apart. There were divisions. There was sin in there. There was disorder in the meetings. There was bad teaching about the resurrection. It goes on and on and on and on. And he wrote very, very strictly that letter to them. And what happened? They repented deeply. Read chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians. How they cleared themselves. And they repented. Now he's comforted. The apostle's great heart was comforted. by the news that Titus had brought him. That's for a word for the elders. They need to be comforted. You know, they bear a heavy burden some days, sometimes more than you can understand. And sometimes they do need that comfort that only can come with it, that they hear that the saints turn, repent, are obedient to the Lord, when they're walking in righteousness. The benediction, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verses 16 and 17. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and our God and Father, who loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. May the Lord comfort your hearts this morning with the comfort that he is able to give. He knows all about you. You turn to him and he will comfort your heart. Father, we thank you again for your wonderful grace to each one of us and the comfort you bring, Lord. And though sometimes, Lord, the times might be stormy, the dark, the nights dark, the days full of trouble, yet, Lord, at the end of it, we thank you that you were ever faithful, the ever faithful, comforting one. Whatever the need is, Lord, you can meet. And you know our troubles and sorrows, having borne them and carried them. So, Father, we ask your blessing upon the saints, encourage and strengthen and comfort each one, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.